All right. It is 6 p.m. on Friday, March 25th. It's the end of the week. We got a banger episode for you. This is technically the fourth episode we've recorded this week now.
I need you to tone your energy down. You are bringing me into a place of just... Oh my God. I'm so, okay. I'm here. I'm here, everyone. Don't worry. I'm present.
Let's get to shit. It's been a long ass week for everyone. So many trades happened. This is going to be our first post-trade deadline episode now where we don't mention any trade except for one, which we'll get into in a little bit. Mr. Evgeny Dadonov, Yes, we're gonna keep this episode light. We're gonna keep it cool. For any one of our YouTube listeners or viewers, I'm wearing my Leafs jersey right now because I do not have access to the new one, and I'm gonna use this as a segue for my God, I want the new one so fucking badly. My God.
Yeah, and it's pretty nice. Yeah.
When it was dropped on Tuesday or Wednesday of this week, right?
Tuesday. It was on Tuesday, but they played it on a Wednesday.
What was your first reaction when you actually saw it? Because you had a prediction of what it was going to look like. And it was true, but you didn't know the other part of it.
I didn't know it was reversible. So that's pretty sick. I do think it is kind of cool that they're actually collaborating with Justin Bieber on it. I mean, the Raptors have the same thing with Drake. Personally, I think the Raptors Drake uniforms are cooler, but I think it's also because it's black and gold. But it's really cool. Again, I was one of the people who saw that JB was wearing it in a Martha Stewart Instagram post. I'm not sure where that was. Might have been the Super Bowl. I don't really know, but I had seen it, so I wasn't really surprised. Even the side that's not reversible, like the actual side that they wear on the ice, I think it looks great, man. I fuck with black. I love black. Black and white numbers are unbelievable, and even the little details, like the Toronto skyline on the sleeve, it's great.
I think they nail it.
I think they hit it out of the park on that one. So, I love it. I like it probably just as much as you do. And there's a reason why it was sold out on the Maple Leafs website as of yesterday. But I think now it's back up and running. I think now it's back in stock at Real Sports Apparel.
Okay, that's good. Right after this call, I might just quickly cop my own. Because I was thinking, should I ask my friends to give it to me for my birthday? But I'm like, I got to wait another 4 months for that. I kind of want it now. You mentioned that this is the second jersey drop for the Leafs this season. But you also mentioned this is actually cheaper than the Heritage Classic one.
It is cheaper. It's $30 cheaper, which
that's
is
wild
to me. But yeah.
Dude, this is two jerseys.
The blank Heritage Classic jerseys were $229 before tax, and the blank JB reversible flip side, I think they're calling it the flip side jersey, is $199 before tax.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. I won it yesterday. So when I first saw that, I actually didn't even know they were going to drop a new jersey until you actually texted me a week ago, and you mentioned, look what the Leafs posted. They said something's coming for the next gen game against the New Jersey Devils.
And then I immediately sent you the Martha Stewart Instagram post.
Yes, yes. You sent it to me and you're like, Justin Bieber's an idiot.
Yeah, it's James an idiot and he leaked it, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but it looks like the Maple Leafs, they kind of took it in stride. They're like, they posted it and then they posted the New Jersey, and then they made another post later on saying Martha Stewart leaked our post.
Oh yeah, well, the interesting thing is and I feel like the bigger part of that is he leaked it, but he didn't leak the fact there's a whole other dimension to it that was completely couldn't even tell based on the picture, which is the fact that it was reversible. You had no idea at all.
Yeah, just the black concept itself. A lot of people, I remember hearing about it or reading about it a while ago, they were saying, every single team now in the league has some black concept, and that's just, it's just becoming so overdone now. Why don't you just stick to your traditional blue and white colors, just make different color schemes out of that.
And then
I saw the Heritage Classic jerseys, and then it was a nice navy blue. Me and my other friend were talking about it, and we both want that navy blue, that like super dark navy blue, but with the current Leafs logo instead of the T on it.
Yeah,
that would be such a nice jersey.
Yeah,
but then they came out with a black concept instead, black and white Maple Leafs, which is cool. Like, I doubt they'll be using it for many games, to be honest. Every now and then, just like the St. Pat's, we'll go once a season.
Maybe. I've read a couple of things that apparently these are going to be around to stay for a while, apparently. Good. Which I could totally see. I have no idea if that's true or not, but apparently, I think downtown Stephen Brown, who I follow on Twitter, or what I strongly recommend following. I think he said he has on good authority that that the Leafs will be wearing him for a while. So I hope he's right, because again, they look sick. And again, Justin Bieber's base. Again, I want Austin Matthews to stay. So anything Justin Bieber wants, just give it to him. I don't care.
Oh yeah. And the other thing I remember. So obviously Justin Bieber, he is, I guess, their brand ambassador. Is it wrong to say the Leafs brand ambassador now? That's not his official role.
I mean, kind of. Yeah, like
more or
like,
less.
It's like Drake's the Raptors global ambassador, and Justin Bieber is basically the same thing. So I mean, yeah.
Yeah, and so the aesthetic, obviously we know what the aesthetic is for these jerseys. It's like, you know, fun, and the reversible side, the black and white, literally has a smiley face on it. So like, you know, the demographic that the Leafs are trying to market hard towards, it's the young kids, the young fans, I actually really, really dig. Because with the Raptors, with the Raptors, what's your demographic? You got like the young adults, you have like the different ethnicities, you know, like multiculturalism, intensity, like fandom, support your city, support the six, all about Toronto, 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 right? It's like the Toronto Raptors are pretty much the embodiment of what Toronto is. The Leafs, they may have more fans or in around the GTA and Ontario and stuff like that. But the demographic has been becoming increasingly older and older and older over the last 2-3 decades. Right. And like, if you look at the number of people who go, or the people who go to the games, who watches the games, the sponsors that they have for the games, you know, it's like, it's kind of boring. And so I love the fact that they're now trying to change that with going full in for the Leafs kids demographic. And although some people might be like, this is just like a corny, cheesy thing, like reversible jersey. So funny.
Yeah.
But you know what? Fuck it, man. I'm so into it. I'm 23. I'm a young adult. I want this.
Yeah. And like here's the thing, right? Like, this is like one of the biggest differences between like the leagues, like the hockey and like right now between hockey and baseball. Baseball's not doing anything. Like we had a rant about, like I had a rant, I think 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, about the MLB lockout and how like MLB is losing fans, whatever. Like the average age of the fan is going up and up and up and up, and like they're not really catering to new younger fans. Like this is the opposite. This is literally the opposite. They are marketing one of the most popular entertainers in the world, who's Canadian, who's from Stratford, who loves the Toronto Maple Leafs, and they give him a platform, help him design a jersey. I mean, it probably helps. He's really good friends with Austin Matthews. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like that's not a factor, but like, it's cool. It seems really cool that he's been like, he's given the opportunity to do that. And like, it's popular. Like, it's not like he did it and people hate it. It's popular. It's taking off. And like, the closest thing the MLB has to that is like Players Weekend, where they wear their nicknames on their jersey, which just seems so stupid to me. Like, not stupid, but like, there's so much room for growth and everything that like, anyways, that's a whole other sport. My main point is here that like, there's a lot of people who are talking about how bad this is for the sport, how the Leafs are like an original six franchise. You shouldn't be messing with your uniform. Like who the fuck cares, man? Like the fans like it, the players like it. So why does it really matter? Like, anyways, this is, I think it's great. And that's my main takeaway. I think it looked great. I think it's great that Justin Bieber is being more involved in the Leafs organization to keep 34 around. But I think it's great regardless.
Do you know who Drew House is? Is it an artist?
Drew House is Justin Bieber's brand, my dude.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That's kind of cringy. That's okay. Yikes.
Yeah. Whoops. Anyway.
Who's Drew House? Don't fucking kill me. Yeah. Okay. Anyways, we're just gonna awkwardly move past that point. Okay. I'm young, then immediately says, what the fuck is that? Yeah, there's okay, moving on.
Look, man, I don't know. I just see a lot of Drew House. I'm like, I don't fucking know what Drew House is. Hey, now I know what Drew House is. You learn something new every day. Anyway, I'm gonna get the jersey. It's amazing. Do you have anything else to talk about it? I don't.
I mean, if I get it, or if anyone listening to me, or not listening to this podcast, I'm probably going to get it. I don't know who I want to get on it yet. Marner, I'm thinking about Marner, thinking about Liljegren, thinking about TJ Brody. Here's the thing. Like, I have a Tavares jersey. I have a Matthews jersey. I have a Simmons jersey. I fucking love my Wayne Simmons jersey. Holy shit, man. Like, I don't know. Like, I've given Mitch Marner so much shit since he signed that extension, and he's having such a good year, mm-hmm. and like he's proven me wrong about so many, he's proven me wrong about so many things I said about him earlier in the season, and not proven me wrong, but like he has invalidated a lot of stuff that I've said earlier on the season, and honestly, I'm happy that he did. I do not hate him. I got. With a contract that big, it's easy to get frustrated with a player like that. And he's having such a good year, good, unbelievable.
So basically, but, what I'm hearing is, you were wrong about Mitch Marner.
Yeah, Mitch Marner, if you're watching, if you're listening right now, I was wrong, and I apologize. Except the Darren Ferris, because Darren Ferris is a. Well, I'm not gonna say it. Never mind. No, but thinking about Sandin, thinking about Liljegren, thinking about Brody. Thinking about Muzzin.
Spezza.
Like,
come on.
He's not gonna be around much longer.
I'm calling it right now. Spezza will be a coach for the Maple Leafs one day.
Okay, yeah, but does the coach wear a jersey? No. Mm-mm.
Yeah, but how cool would it be to get a jersey of a coach who once played for you? Okay, whatever.
I don't know. If anyone has any suggestions, please let me know. The three options I'm primarily thinking of right now are Marner, Muzzin, and TJ Brody. You have any suggestions.
I forgot. Yes. Did you say you already have Riley?
No, I do not have a Riley. Or a Riley. I'll take that too.
He's going to be here for any more years?
Anyways, if you have any suggestions, holla at me on Twitter or Instagram or anything you want. I doubt I'm going to hear from any of you, but if you do, do it anyways.
You'll hear from me. I'll add you on Twitter.
Cool. Sick. Yeah. But yeah, bottom line, it's cool. Good for Justin Bieber. It's hip. It's great.
You mean Drew House?
It's doing really well, man. Like, it's doing really well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Anyways. Okay.
The only flaw I have about this jersey. This is the
Don't
only
tell me it's a fight strap. This jersey. Don't tell me it's a fight strap.
It's the fight strap.
Okay, man. Okay, it's a reversible jersey. Okay,
hold on. Here's my one issue with that. I get it, it's a reversible jersey. Fine. But the players are not going to be wearing it like that. So if you're going to sell it for the public to wear, you could have easily made a version where it does not have the fight strap. Because if you're wearing it inside out with the fight strap, it looks fucking stupid.
Okay, fine. I agree with you that they could have made a
only,
version.
That's my only beef with it. The players' jerseys, fine. I get that because it's literally a rule you have to be tied down if you're going to get into a fight. But yes. Like, no one in the street's going to get a stupid fight. Anyways.
Better beware. I'm going to do a fight.
Yeah. Better be tied down for a fight in the street. But yeah. Anyways. Oh my God, you're doing your fight strap up. Okay. Anyways, next topic. So we touched on this last episode, I think, or briefly touched on it. And that's Evgeny Dadonov, and the ruling came out today. And there's more details. I'm looking at the details right now from Aaron, Srinivasan. And I'm so sorry if I butchered that last name. I'm pretty sure that I did. So the trade was nixed, and for those of you who missed it, it was Evgeny Dadonov, and a conditional second round pick were traded from from Vegas to the Ducks for John Moore and Ryan Kessler, who had previously retired, and a host of short period of time show, Kess's House on Sportsnet. It's now no longer there, but anyways, Ryan Kessler, I was been retired for a while with the back issue. So it was literally just a contract swap to put his contract on LTIR to try to free up some cap space. I'll try to summarize basically what happened up as quickly as possible. Basically, Vegas wanted to get rid of Dadonov's contract to try to free up some space to activate Martinez and Mark Stone. Basically, Vegas wasn't aware that Dadonov had a no-trade clause because apparently the original trade that sent him from Ottawa to Vegas, he didn't actually submit his no-trade or wasn't filed on time. So it actually, like, it was basically was void. So he was eligible to be traded. So Vegas didn't know he had a no-trade clause. So in that lack of awareness, basically continued up until like 3 o'clock at the deadline on Monday, whenever the trade deadline was. And he's like, yeah, I have a no trade clause. And the league said, oh yeah, this guy fully has a no trade clause. Or he's like, he has a no trade list where he can nix a trade to 10 teams. Anaheim was on that list supposedly. And that's it. There was some speculation to see if they were going to trade him anyways. Because again, technically speaking, you can trade players after the trade deadline. It just means that they can't play for the remainder of the season or in the playoffs. So that's a huge thing. It would basically end Evgeny Dadonov's season. So Dadonov, still a Golden Knight, scored in his last game. But yeah, fuck Vegas.
So Vegas posted March 23rd, which is a couple days ago, the Vegas Golden Knights recognize the league's decision and welcome Evgeny back to our club, which is very, very fucking awkward. Vegas. Do you know if there's going to be any repercussions from the league for this, for any party involved, or no?
I doubt it. I can't see why there would be.
Okay.
Personally, like, they tried to make a trade and they got nicked. I think that would be only the only real repercussion that would really stand.
It's just the Vegas Golden Knights, they fucked up, basically. TLDR, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, well, then that's the punishment enough, right? Like for the Vegas Golden Knights now, sit in your shit. Like, you did this to yourself.
Here's the other repercussions you're gonna have to face is they now have, like, this does not help. And we've talked about this multiple times. This does not help the fact that they are now more now than ever, they're generating a reputation of treating their players like absolute shit. Like, that is something that I think that, like, again, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like Vegas isn't a great place to play, especially if you pay them well. A lot of money, no state income tax. The team has been competitive for like basically every season they've been in the league. The weather's consistently nice. So,
you know, one other thing though. So obviously there's that fall from grace in the reputation. Obviously that's been growing over the last few seasons now for them, but they needed to move money out.
Because
Mark Stone's coming back. Alec Martinez is coming back. These are the players that you want to add into your lineup for a playoff push. Right now, the Vegas Golden Knights are falling. They need those two players badly. But the Dodonov trade would have saved them $3.375 million. That's his current contract. Now he's on the roster. He's not moved. What are you going to do now? How are you going to make space for them?
I think he's actually making like $5 million. But I think with John Moore's buried penalty, it would have been like $3 million in overall cap savings because they still would have had to pay. Like, anyways, that's a good question. They currently, like, they need basically $13 million in cap space to activate Mark Stone and Alec Martinez.
And how much do they have currently?
Now, how much do they currently have? They have $1 million.
Yeah, that's tight, man.
And hold on. And here's another point I want to get to. So they have a lot of guys, like a lot of guys on injured reserve. Not long term, but like so they have Mark Stone, Alec Martinez. But like if you look at the way they're paying their forwards, like 1, 2, 3, 4 guys up for 4 forwards are making over $3 million that are currently active. That's Dadonov, Marchessault, William Karlsson, and obviously Jack Eichel. They have 2 defensemen currently on the roster who are making over $5 million, and Shea Theodore and Alex Petrangelo. How the hell are you going to move $13 million in cap space when, like, your 6th active highest paid forward right now is Chandler Stephenson at 2.75? And then Myanmark at 2 million. William Carey for 1.4. Nolan Patrick at 1.2. And everyone else is under $1 million.
You know how they do it?
The Nikita Kucherov. That's the only solution they have. But my answer to that would be like,
that's fucked.
I don't know how you do that because the Nikita Kucherov, if they make the playoffs.
Yes.
Because there's no guarantee they make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, if Mark Stone's ready, you're not going to have Mark Stone because you can't activate him.
Yep. Like, right now, as of this recording, the Vegas Golden Knights are actually out of a playoff spot, 1 point behind the Dallas Stars. And they played 4 more games than the Dallas Stars. So there's a really, really good chance now that they don't make the playoffs. And that's because they messed this trade up.
I wouldn't say that's the only reason why. Because, like, look, the reality is I don't think Mark – it is. Don't get me wrong. But, like, I don't think Evgeny Dadonov was – like, they put them – like, that trade definitely made activating their players a lot more difficult. Don't get me wrong. But, like, man, like, I don't know. Like, it baffles me that they basically have, like, $35 million on LTIR right now. In terms of annual average value, they have 19.5 in short term and then 15.5 in long term. Like, and it's exactly why, anyways, I'm not like, I have so many thoughts about Vegas right now that, like, because here's the thing, I have no idea how close Mark Stone is to coming back. I don't think it's particularly close. I don't.
He does have a back thing, but I heard from somewhere that there was a good chance he would be back before the playoffs. Like, he would have helped them with their playoff push.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. I just have no idea how long his thing is. Because, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I just don't know how close they were. Anyways, I have no idea. I'm just basically hypothetizing. I'm just gonna be busy coming up with a whole bunch of hypothetical scenarios, but, like, man, I don't see it. Really don't see it.
Yeah, man, they're in really tough right now. Do you know what's super funny though?
What?
The Vegas Golden Knights, they played yesterday in a 6-1 victory against the Nashville Predators. Who do you think scored a goal and had 2 assists?
Oh, I saw. It's Dadonov. Yeah, Dadonov scored yesterday. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, like, this is, yeah,
very funny.
I do think they're in trouble though. Vegas, they got, like, not like, I don't even mean this year, I mean just going forward, because looking at the cap friendly, man, they're in trouble unless they decide to, like, trade everyone, which I wouldn't put past them. But, like, yeah, like, they have a really fucked, like, a really good forward group when healthy, like Eichel, Stone, Pacioretty, Carlson, Marchessault, like Riley Smith, who's a pending free agent, so that's kind of big, who's probably gone because they won't be able to re-sign him. But, like, their defense is in horrible shape. Like, Alex Petrano's making 8.8 for the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 seasons after this one. Shea Theodore, great defenseman. Shea Theodore is great. I love Shea Theodore. I actually wanted him to be a Leaf before he got traded to Vegas in the expansion draft. Taking 5.2 for the next 3 seasons after this. The next highest paid forward is technically Alec Martinez, who's on LTIR. So, okay, fine. And then Braden McNabb's okay. And then next guy is Daniil Miromanov. Okay,
you're lying.
Zachary Hayes, who's on an emergency loan. Nick Hag, I've heard of him. Dylan Coughlin, Ben Hutton, Zach Whitecloud. Like, these names I recognize, but, like, you're seriously telling me that you feel comfortable with your defense core after Alex Petrangelo and Shea Theodore?
Nope.
Like, I don't know. Like, I genuinely think they'll be fine because, again, they've shown that they don't really care about any circumstances surrounding their players, like when they were acquired, when they were signed or whatever. Like, they basically just want to win, and they're willing to move players, move salary, move contracts in any way possible to just give them the best opportunity to win. But, like, at some point, I would think you're going to run into problems with players who, like, are okay with that. Basically, they're trying to find a place where they can spend a good chunk of their career, and, like, you're basically for some of these players, you're basically, like, sending them out the door And Brian Burke said this like 2 years ago. Like this is before the Dadonov thing. I think it was basically after they signed Petrangelo and they were trading away like players like Nate Schmidt just to clear cap. Like they're going to gain a reputation. And I would have to think they're starting to do that based on the way that the Fleury thing, there's the Fleury's time in Vegas ended, and then Nate Schmidt as well. And I'm sure there's other players who are thinking the exact same thing.
Yeah, man. I don't know what else to add to that. It's so tough. I think if there was ever, I so badly want someone to do this, whether it's maybe the GM of the Vegas Golden Knights or someone in or around the team, I want a book about the first five seasons of Vegas Golden Knights history, because it is, say what you want about the reputation that they've developed recently, but it's like remarkable. What a sports story about how this team entered a league, went to the Stanley Cup final, and then kind of like every season after that, they've been getting a little worse in a weird way. Yeah. Even though they've been trying to get better, they've actually gotten worse and worse every season.
Yeah.
It's such it's such a contradiction of a team. Like, yeah. It's so weird.
Yeah. I went back and I'm looking at their, like their trades, like all their trades, like in the history of like Vegas, like even like at the beginning,
yeah.
Like, and what like, and I saw this on Twitter, like I think it was last year. So not last year, like a couple of days ago, but like the Vegas Golden Knights basically held a lot of these teams at gunpoint to like, basically for them to take their favorite players. Okay, New York, you want us to take Mikhail Grabowski? Okay, fine. You have to give us a first round pick and a second round pick. Like,
yep.
And that first round pick became Eric Brandstrom, who turned into Mark Stone. Like,
do you remember the Fleury trade from Pittsburgh?
They got a first round pick from Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yep.
First round pick to take Marc-Andre Fleury. Or sorry, a second round pick. Sorry, not a first round pick, a second round pick. But still, they had to be compensated to take Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. And again, I think that's why, like, in situations like this, no one will give the Vegas Golden Knights any sympathy whatsoever.
Oh yeah.
Like, there are teams that lost very good players as a result of the Knights being introduced into the league, and they're basically like, anyways, like.
But then again, some GMs were very, very stupid to do that. Like what they did.
I agree.
Weirdest thing, like, I'm gonna talk about the Fleury thing again. They took that to take on Fleury, right? And at the time, we thought, wow, what the fuck is going on? Why would anyone give Fleury up? And then they would give a second round pick, and he's that other team's starter. What a weird move. Then Fleury goes and wins the Vezina. Then we're like, haha, Pittsburgh, you stink.
Carry them to
and the then they give him up for free.
Next year. Yeah.
And then we think, what are you doing, Vegas?
Yeah.
Why are you giving up for free?
Well, here's the thing, right? And I think that's a good introduction to a point here that can be made. But like, man, like they just sign these players without any plan. Like when they signed Alex Petrangelo, they were the only team that had what people need to remember is when Alex Petrangelo was a free agent, I think that was just after COVID. Like, I think it was the first season. I can't remember exactly what the exact situation was. Basically, he was a free agent, and like no one had any cap space. Part of the reason because the cap had just fucking went through the ground because of the fucking the cap hadn't risen because of COVID. And like, so Toronto was on them, didn't sign in Toronto. They're like three, like Boston was another one. And then St. Louis wanted to re-sign him, but he took too long. That left Vegas, who had no cap space. So all the talk was, so what does that mean for them acquiring Petrangelo? It meant nothing, because they signed him anyways without any plan of actually clearing cap space. So again, that's why they had to trade Nate Schmidt. And again, that's why last year they basically had to give away Marc-Andre Fleury for nothing, because they needed cap space and they had no leverage on any of their players except for Fleury.
Yep.
Sorry, not even Fleury. Like, here's a great goalie. he's been like unbelievable. Like he's been like over 920 save percentage, like basically every year since he's been in Vegas.
Vezina winner.
Would you like him for nothing? Yeah, like Vezina winner, Stanley Cup champion, one of the most likable guys in the league. And you said, okay, here you go. We like Robin Lehner better.
Well, and what's really funny is in the half season that Chicago had Marc-Andre Fleury, they got 10 times more in return than Vegas had in dealing away Marc-Andre Fleury. And they had him for like three seasons.
Yeah. Like,
and now,
and the thing is, like, sorry, go on.
And now he's going to make his debut for the Minnesota Wild on Saturday. It's good for you, Flower.
I hope he takes out that. If the Knights make the playoffs, I hope that the Minnesota Wild take them out when Marc-Andre Fleury like sweeps them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and is it kind of too bad? Because like just looking at these moves that were made like towards the beginning of their time in the league, a lot of these moves were actually very solid hockey, like hockey savvy moves. Like I like a lot of them. And then you get towards the top and you see like Jack Eichel, like the Jack Eichel trade I don't have a problem with, because like when a top five center becomes available, you go out and get him. I don't have a problem with that. But like Ryan Reeves for a third, who's making 1.75. Like Evgeny Dadonov, we basically gave away. Like, why would the hell did they get Evgeny Dadonov in the first place?
I don't know, man. This team is a contradiction and an enigma. I don't know what else to say about that.
Yeah,
but
I'm having a very.
This is a very, very interesting team to watch, though. Nonetheless, like, fuck, I want to know what happens next in the Vegas Golden Knights history in this league.
Well, I'm having fun actually going back and reading some of the players that were used with the draft picks they had, like in their first year, because like again, like the one when they first came into the league, like and they got all these draft picks, people like, oh my god, let's over Vegas, they have like 18 draft picks or whatever in like the first 2 years or whatever. But like I don't recognize any of these names. Like Jake Lecision, okay, I recognize him. Drew Commisso, I kind of recognized him. Oh yeah, god, Nick Suzuki. Oh my god. Yeah, that's funny.
let's transition.
Okay. Cool.
So I'm just gonna.
It's 6:27. Just a heads up.
I know. I will probably go for like another 5-6 minutes. So
okay, that's fine.
General news from around the league. And I find this interesting.
I love because general news.
Now we're gonna get a much more clear picture of what the heck the Stangs are gonna look like henceforth. So
yeah.
Eastern Conference, like we specified, it's done. Like you got your playoff teams already, which is surprising because I've never in my life before seen a conference wrapped up so early in a season. Like I'm talking about in January, this conference was done.
You clearly haven't watched baseball. Baseball's like almost every year.
In hockey at least.
Yeah, no, I know.
But yeah. So like I was so surprised that basically since December, January, these standings have not changed. You got Carolina, Pittsburgh, New York, Florida, Toronto, Boston, Tampa, Washington. That's it. You just got to figure out the seedings between them now. And it looks like the team that was closest to Washington, which is Columbus, has 67 points, 13 points back of the Capitals. They finally pulled the shoot as well. Corpusalo is getting surgery. He'll be out for 6 months, hip surgery.
I miss Corpy. Yeah.
New York Islanders, Cal Clutterbuck out for the season as well. So they're shutting down everyone now.
Makes sense. They have. Yeah.
Mayfield
out too.
Out 4 to 6 weeks as well. So they're shutting down. Every other team ahead of them is ramping up now. Toronto, they won in the next-gen game against the New Jersey Devils. So East is done. West, again, the only race now seems to be between Edmonton, Nashville, Dallas, Vegas. It's going to be between those four.
Vancouver
has an outside Vancouver's shot.
They're only 3 points behind, and they have...
Seven points behind Vegas.
7 points behind.
Yeah.
4 points behind Dallas, 7 points behind Nashville. Never mind. Okay. We're good.
But they've also played three more games. They played more games than every other team ahead of them. So.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, to be honest. Anyway.
They might not.
You want to make a quick prediction for what the final standings are going to be like? This will be a question of the day.
I'm gonna quickly go back to. Okay.
I can go first.
So I have okay. So I'll go from east to west. I got Carolina 1, New York 2, Pittsburgh 3.
Ooh.
If that's in the metro, I have Florida 1, Toronto 2, Tampa Bay 3, Boston in the first wild card, and then Washington in the second wild card. That's my Eastern Conference. The Western Conference, I got Colorado at number 1. They're also going to win the President's Trophy. I have Minnesota 2, Nashville 3 in the Central, Calgary 1, Edmonton 2, Los Angeles 3 in the Pacific, and then give me St. Louis in the first wild card and give me Vegas in the second wild card, as much as I hate it. I think Vegas makes it by the hairs of their chinny chin chin.
Wow. Okay, very nice. That Vegas prediction was a little bit of a 180 from what we were just talking about, but okay.
Yeah. Like, my main point when talking about Vegas wasn't I think they suck and I don't think they're going to make a playoffs. My point is I don't know what they're going to do if things go like really south because they can't activate anyone. Like that's my main thing here is I don't trust because between Nashville, Dallas, and Vegas, really, because again, if we're going to say Vancouver's has a bit of an outside shot, fine. I don't trust Dallas. Sagan and Ben are too inconsistent. Jason Robertson's been an absolute monster for them. So is Jake Ottinger. But, like, man, that roster's full of has-beens. And, like, I just – they have a really good system for playoff hockey, but I just don't think they get there.
Here are my predictions. Eastern Conference, you got your Metro division, Carolina number 1. I don't think they're going to lose that. Then I'll follow you up with the Rangers at number 2 and then Pittsburgh at number 3. Yeah. So it'll be Pittsburgh versus Rangers. That's a cool matchup. I like that.
Yeah.
Atlantic, Florida 1, although I think Toronto gets close. I think my prediction is Toronto goes on a little bit of a nice-ish run to end the season, but they'll be like 3 points back of the Florida Panthers for the first place in the division. That's my prediction. I think Boston's going to take third place in the division, which means I think the first round matchup in the 2022 Stanley Cup playoffs will be again Toronto and then fucking
Boston. I hope it is. I honestly hope it is. I think I actually would enjoy that matchup.
Yep. And the reason I'm saying this.
Oh my God. Sorry, yeah, go ahead.
And the reason I'm saying this is because Boston is on a tear. They're 8-1-1 their last 10. Mm-hmm. They just loaded up with Hampus Lindholm. They've won 3 in a row. They're looking like dynamite. And Tampa Bay has lost 3 in a row.
I never count. I'm never gonna count out Tampa Bay. They are just.
I'm not saying they're not gonna make the playoffs. I'm just saying I think Boston. To close out the season,
I hear you, but like Boston and Tampa are neck and neck, and Tampa Bay can turn it on at any moment in time.
They've also played a lot of games over the last 3 seasons.
That's right. Hey, you're not wrong. That's a good point. You're not wrong. I just don't. I don't trust Boston roster in comparison to Tampa. That's because again, I think I'm so split in terms of what's going to happen there, because I think you're 100% right that like I think it's going to be close, but man, like I look like they have Vasilevsky, yes. They have Hedman, they have one of the best defensemen, like they have so many good fucking players, man. Anyways, I'm so excited to watch either in a first round series, even though unfortunately I think the Leafs have a pretty good shot of losing against either of them.
Like, look, maybe this is just me manifesting this. Maybe the Lightning actually end up closing in the third spot in the Atlantic. They might even get second. I don't know. The Leafs might fall down to third.
Yeah.
But man.
Yeah.
Bring me fucking also, Boston, man. Bring me Boston.
No, I want Boston. I want Boston. I don't want to play Tampa. I don't want to play Vasilevsky in a 7-game series. Are you fucking kidding me? I don't want Vasilevsky. Also, one more point on the Atlantic Division. I'm looking at the Florida Panthers schedule right now, and it's not going to be close. To finish off the month, they play Ottawa. Okay, they play Ottawa, Toronto, Montreal, Chicago. Sorry, Toronto, Montreal, Chicago.
Oh,
and then
no.
They play the Devils, the Sabres, the Leafs again, the Sabres again, the Predators, the Ducks, the Jets, the Red Wings, the Islanders, the Red Wings again, the Leafs, the Lightning, the Bruins, the Sens, and the Habs.
Okay, so the only teams that is actually a tough competition for them is the Leafs and the Boston Bruins.
I count 1, 2, 3, and Tampa. They play Tampa. 1, 2, 3, 4.
If you include Nashville?
Yeah.
So, like, of their remaining... There's
five playoff teams in their next 1, 2, 3, 4.
You just look at the games played. They have 63, so 19 games left. So yeah, five of the next 19 games. Wow.
It's not going to be close. I don't think.
What about the Leafs, though? What about the Leafs?
I think the Leafs actually have a pretty tough schedule based on what I remember. Okay. Anyways. You go ahead with your Western Conference predictions, and I'll take a look what they got.
Okay, okay. Please bring Boston. My God, if the Leafs play Boston again, I'm gonna lose my shit. I'm just kidding. I'm just thinking about it. Okay. Wild card. I think, according to my prediction, it'll be Tampa and then Washington, which means Tampa would face Carolina, and then Washington would face Florida. Good. Yeah. Okay. Western Conference. I'll stick with Colorado. I also think they're gonna get the President's Trophy. Minnesota will be second, and then let's see, St. Louis is 1 point behind. Yeah, it's not close. No. Yeah, I'll leave St. Louis at the third spot. Pacific, Calgary, LA are 1 and 2. I really want Edmonton to not make third place.
Oh, me too. But I don't think it's like that. Division has just dropped off.
Yeah,
if Vegas was playing at the regular clip, I don't think they'd make it. But
Edmonton fans, whoever's listening to this, your team's still shit. You're just lucky. You're lucky. Vegas is shittier right now. Okay.
You know,
usually don't be happy with your team. Don't be happy with your team. Okay. Don't be like, you were making the playoffs. No, you're not. You're only making it because Vegas is stupid and they're really stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So
usually I'd take as our pretty just shit on the Oilers, but I don't think I can. I've done it so much this season. I need to take a break from that. So anyways, you know what, Oilers fans, be happy. I want you to be happy because you've had a real shit year. But
sure.
I also don't think they make it past the first round, but that's just me.
I mean, okay, hold on, I'll get to that. Wild card, I think it's Dallas 1, Nashville 2.
Okay, so you have Vegas missing it.
Yes, I do. I have Vegas missing it.
Okay,
just think that there's too much that they're missing right now.
So let me just quickly read you Toronto, the rest of Toronto's schedule, because oh boy, it's going to be interesting. They play Montreal on Saturday, Florida on Sunday, Boston on Tuesday on the road, Winnipeg on Thursday. That's the rematch. Flyers, Lightning, Panthers again, Stars, Canadians, Sabres, Capitals, Sens, Islanders, Flyers, Lightning again, Panthers again, Capitals again, Red Wings again, and the last game of the season is against Boston on April 29th, which could be very interesting depending
on how things play out. Talk about a playoff preview. April 29th.
They play the Panthers 3 times. The Lightning
twice. Yeah,
the Bruins and the Capitals like 3 times.
Yep,
twice. Like
you also mentioned Dallas as well,
and Dallas, and like even teams like Buffalo are playing the Leafs well this year.
Yes,
like and they play, oh my god, yeah, the Flyers, that oh my god, yeah, true. Okay, well look, the Leafs are capable of beating any team, so it's up to them to show us that. Oh my god, this is gonna suck. No, but anyways, I'm actually excited for what the rest of the season holds, because again, I think.
Oh, me too.
They've looked great recently. The first game with Jared. Anyways, first game with Giordano, they look great. But
yep. Man, I'm excited. Fuck, 20 games left of the season. Like every time we're talking about this now, I'm getting more and more jacked for the playoffs. Okay, that's all I have to say.
Again, wrap up now. I'm just cheer for baseball. Again, hockey, I'm sorry. You are on hold for now. You are on hold. Once opening day hits and I have my baseball, I will be back and I'll love you more than ever. But like me and Hawk, you're taking a break right now.
Fair
we
enough.
Both need some space. We're taking some time from each other. We're seeing other people. Baseball and basketball. It's, and basketball playoffs. Oh my God.
It's the Raptors,
gonna be
so bro.
Fucking sexy. The Raptors and NBA playoffs is going to be sexy. NBA NHL playoffs are going to be sexy. And baseball opening day is going to be super sexy, especially for the Blue Jays. Oh my God.
April's going to be such a nice month. April and May.
I'm going to opening day like for the Blue Jays, and I'm so fucking excited. Oh my God.
Dude, I'm fucking jealous. I want.
Go, bro. Tickets are pretty cheap.
I probably will.
You should.
Okay.
Anyways, Armand's got to go. I have to go. I have to do some stuff as well. So, again, follow us. Subscribe. All that shit. You know the drill by now. If you don't, just listen to the outros of the other episodes. But listen to the full episode first so you get all that sexy-ass content. But, anyways. Yeah.
See ya.
Peace.